In this week's parsha, we speak about the halachas of an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is a Jewish slave. He is a person who's gotten into such a bad financial situation that in order to pay off his debts, he has to work for someone else. This is not an ideal situation for a Jew, and there is a built-in exit plan. He only has to work for 6 years, and by the seventh year, he should go free. If he doesn't want to, there is the possibility of remaining, at least till Yovel. Why would a person want to remain? Perhaps he is married to a maidservant. That means the master has the right to marry him off to one of his maidservants. And if they have children, the children belong to the master. So perhaps he would want to stay together with his children. Or perhaps he would want to stay because as an Eved, he has all of his needs taken care of. If he decides to stay after the sixth year, before the seventh year, he has to get his ear pierced. We want to talk about the halachas which dictate how the master is allowed to treat the Eved. We're not talking about the slavery the way that we picture it. It says, Loisa avoidboy avoidas Eved. Don't make him work for you, the avoida of an Eved, of a slave. Avoida shel gnai. Meaning you're not allowed to make him do degrading work. You're not allowed to make him do work that someone who is paid would feel uncomfortable doing. He's allowed to ask him to cut his hair or to wash his clothes, but he can't, for example, make him carry his clothing to the bathhouse, and he's not allowed to make him put on his shoes for him. The Sefer HaChinuch says that the reason is that even though he's fallen into a difficult situation, he's still a Jewish person. And just as easily as he is here, you can be there too. We have to teach ourselves to be Balei Chesed and have Rachamim. A person who is cruel to his Eved is a person who is teaching himself the Midah of cruelty, which is unacceptable. You cannot sell him to another person in a slave market. If you do need to sell him, it should be done in a refined and a bakavadik way. And then, Loi serdeloi beparach. Don't make him do work which we call avoidas parach, v'yareisa melekecha, and you should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's avoidas parach? Don't give him unnecessary work that you don't need done. This is not true, by the way, just for an Eved, but for anyone. Meaning, if you own a business and there's not enough work for your employees, so you come into the office and you see them all sitting on their phones, you can ask them to do something that is needed for the business, but you can't ask them to just do busy work, and you can't ask them to do inappropriate work. For example, you can't say, go and wash my car for me. You can't ask them, an employee, to do any work that you wouldn't, that they wouldn't want to do if he wasn't in a situation where he was scared to lose his job, so he has to do. We can extrapolate from there that this is also true for husband asking wife, wife asking husband, parents and children, teachers and students. We even have to be careful when we're asking someone for a favor, especially if you are a person of power and the other one would be nervous to say no to you. We see from our Gedolim how careful they were not to ask people for favors and how they do things on their own, not to be matriach anyone, not to make anyone uncomfortable. The Alshich says, perach, you can't even use a perach, which means a soft voice, a nice soft voice to continue to convince him to do whatever it is that you want him to do. That's how the Mitzrayim got the Jews to work for them. When it says Mitzrayim, we worked avodas perach, it started off with a perach, that the Mitzrayim convinced us that this is what we wanted to do, that we wanted to work from them. Included in this is you can't force a man to do a woman's job and vice versa. A woman doing a man's job is physically difficult. A man doing a woman's job is emotionally difficult. Other things that fall into the category of perach is labor without an end. Watch this for me until I get back. Or senseless jobs like pisos and ramses, which were disintegrated as they were built. There's hard work, but at least when a person does hard work, there's satisfaction that comes from knowing that I'm doing productive work, at least I accomplished something. But if you give senseless work, just busy work, just work that's there to keep them occupied or to make you feel good that you get to command people to do things, you're taking away all the satisfaction that can come from it. you can't even give them perach, avodas perach, even if the eved wouldn't know that it was pointless work, which is why it says v'yareisa melekecha. Why not? Meaning we're taking away the whole reason of that you can't give him to do it because we don't want him to feel like he's done senseless work. So why couldn't we give it to him if he never would find out that it was senseless? The Gemara says that even if he doesn't know that it's senseless work, his mazel knows, meaning that he'll have a sense that something is off and he will feel it. But even more so, you, the Adoin, the master, will be harmed. You're playing around with an Eved Hashem, with a Tzelem Elokim. How dare you? An Eved Ivri is first and foremost an Eved Hashem. Because of the situation he finds himself in, he is allowed to work for his master, and his master is allowed to get him to do things for him. But it's a situation which is not an ideal situation, and therefore the master has to be very, very careful. Even asking for one extra cup of tea could already be problematic. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. We all belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to be very, very careful. Rav Nevinzal takes this whole idea and brings it on a much, much deeper level. He says, we have, each one of us, we have a guf and we have a neshama. We have a body and we have a soul. Who is the master and who is the servant? We could say that when we are davening, the neshama is the master. Then I want to eat, the guf is the master. Then I want to take care of parnasa. So who is in charge? For most of us, the neshama is held captive by the guf. That means while we are living here in this materialistic world, our guf is the master and the neshama is the captive. Very rare is the individual where the neshama is the master over the guf. We do have an example. David HaMelech, it says, Pasuk, Hishafti drachai v'ashiva ragli el edei secha. And Rashi there says, Amar David. David said, Ribbono shel Olam, b'chol yom v'yom, every single day I would think that I have to go to such and such a place. I have to go to visit such and such a place. And I would start to walk and my legs would bring me to the Bate Knesios or the Bate Midrashos. I would be walking towards my business or towards my palace, and all of a sudden I would find that my legs have taken me to the Beis Medrash. He was one of the few who managed to have his guf, his body, be meshubat to his neshama, that even his feet naturally did what his neshama wanted him to do. But for most of us, our neshama is considered to be an evet to the guf. So the neshama comes along with us when we eat, although it doesn't need or want the food, and it will come to sleep with us, although for the neshama, sleep is not important, because by eating and by sleeping, we are perhaps making it possible to do more mitzvahs. Meaning that theoretically, the neshama needs the guf to be healthy and satisfied as well, so the neshama is allowing the guf to do what it needs to do, so that ultimately we should be able to do more mitzvahs. And that's why the neshama goes along with the guf. However, the same idea that we spoke about with the Eved Ivri applies with the Guf and Neshama. We are allowed to make the Neshama do what is necessary for it to do, meaning that in order for the Neshama to function, we have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to take care of ourselves, we have to exercise, we have to go to the doctor, we have to work for our parnasa so that we should have the money to take care of eating and sleeping and food and housing and shelter and everything that our guf needs so that our neshama could do what it's meant to do. But like we are not allowed to have the eved do senseless work, and we're not allowed to eved do time-wasting work, and we're not allowed to make the Eved do degrading work, we're not allowed to do that to our neshama either. And sometimes we put our neshama through a tremendous amount of wasted time, tasks that are absolutely not necessary, things that are degrading, things that pain the neshama. If the neshama is temporarily trapped and enslaved to our guf, we have to treat it well. We have to make sure that the things that we are doing are absolutely necessary. The Mesilas Yesharim compares the neshama to a bas melech who ends up marrying a peasant. She cannot be satisfied with the coarse food and uncomfortable bed. She is desperate to go back to the Kisei HaKavod that she came from. Anything that is Olam Hazeh related is really difficult for the neshama and causes it to feel its slavery. The ratzon, the desire of the neshama, is to be returned to its creator as pure as it came down. It wants freedom. And freedom means that the neshama wants to do what it wants to do. And what the neshama really wants to do is ratzon Hashem. I want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. And all the things that we force it to be busy with is avodas parach. It's difficult for the neshama. In Maseches Shabbos, it says that every time Bnei Yisrael heard a dibra coming out from Hashem, parcha nishmasam, with the first two dibras, which Hashem said himself, the reason that Hashem didn't continue to say the aseres dibras is because with every dibra they heard, parcha nishmasam, their neshamas flew back to Shemayim. Nafshi yatsa, my neshama went out, bedabra, it says in Shir HaShirim, because the neshama, all she wants is to be back with Hashem, and then suddenly she hears his voice, so she flew right back there. We have a neshama that craves kedusha. We need to have a little rachmanas on our neshama, who at this point is like an eved ivri. The Beis Din Shel Mala forced it to be in the guf so that it can do mitzvahs. We can't subject our neshama to avodas parach, to senseless work. We can't exhaust her with work that doesn't fit her, that doesn't befit her. We can't ask her to do extra things that we don't really need. Like we need to have rachmanas on our eved ivri, we need to have rachmanas on our neshamas.